May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a scripture that we looked at a couple of Sundays ago, but I want to see it today applicable in a little bit different way. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells a story about, he speaks of himself in third person, but he tells a story about having an experience where he's lifted up into the third heavens and has this encounter with God. And he's shown things that he doesn't even have words to explain. And then he goes on and he says, in light of that, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. There's a lot of stuff we're not going to look at. We don't have time. Like, what's this all about? What was the thorn in the flesh? Why is he called a messenger of Satan? What's that all about? What I wanted to focus on today is that Paul uses the word weaknesses. And the word weaknesses just speaks of generally weaknesses. One of the things I've said a lot, I said a couple of weeks ago, is that I believe that God doesn't tell us what Paul's thorn in the flesh is because he knows our tendency in the flesh would say, well, that's easy for Paul to say, but he doesn't understand my situation. Because we have a tendency to feel sorry for ourselves and assume that what we're going through is more difficult than anything anybody else has ever gone through. But he just uses the word weaknesses. And what I've discovered is that one of the unique places of weakness that we experience as humans is in temptation. It's a real moment of weakness. And it's a real battle. I was talking to somebody just recently, and they were talking about their battle and the temptation and the battle to give in. But that when they get into the battle, they're pleading with God to give them strength. They're trying really hard to not give in to the temptation. And so what I had to tell them was that the harder you try, the harder you're going to fall. Because it's not by willpower that we have victory. It's by his power that we have victory. And there's a big difference. And that Christians spend a lot of their time begging God for things that's already theirs. And that's not a life of faith. That's pleading God to do something that God has said he's already promised. And in this scripture, if we think of weakness in this context, use this scripture to reference that temptation would represent weakness. And this would be true for any kind of temptation. It's particularly true for someone who has some kind of addiction issue. It could be an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction. It could be a relational addiction. It could be pornography addiction. It could be all kinds of addiction. It could be having a broken heart because of a relationship that wasn't good, that God broke up, and you're being strongly tempted to just sort of tiptoe back into that thing. All of us have experienced places in our life where our emotions were so strong, the passions were so stirred up in us, the desire so stirred up in us, that it was like an intense battle. That's a place of weakness. I mentioned something yesterday in yesterday was a lost day. On Sunday, when Jesus came to wait on the woman at the well, it says that Jesus came to Jacob's well weary from the journey and sat down because he was tired. And then he was obviously thirsty too, because when she shows up, he asks for water. One of the things I love about that scripture is God doesn't get tired or weary. But Jesus clothed himself in our humanity, and he identifies with our humanity. Scripture says he's been tempted in every way like unto us. And so Jesus totally identified with our humanity by saying he was weary and tired. He understands that when we get weary and tired, he was tempted in every way like unto us. So he understands everything we get tempted with, Jesus understands. See, that's important because the Jewish concept of God was similar to the Greek concept of God. And that is that God was separate from us. And he was separate from us because he was so holy. And therefore, there's a great distance between us and God. And the only thing God ever responded to is when we sinned, because he was so holy that he would deal with us in a fierce way because of sin. He was kind of like this grouchy perfectionist who had a spiritual billy club in his hand, just waiting for us to mess up. And so for Jesus to come, for the second person of the Godhead to come and clothe himself for humanity, for God to so identify with humanity, to jump in to the cesspool of our brokenness, clothe himself in that, and then redeem it from the inside out is amazing. And reveal the true nature of who God is. He doesn't stand off when we struggle, disappointed that we struggle, and then prepared to just blast us when we fail. He jumps in. He's there in the midst of it all. Jesus said in John 16, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. It's the same word for trials. It's the same word for temptation. So Jesus gave us a promise. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I've shared this before, but I remember years ago when I would read that verse, I would go, well, good for you, Jesus. I'm really glad that you overcame the world. But you just said, that doesn't make me real happy. You just said I'm going to have trials and tribulations and temptation. I can affirm that that's true. And I'm really glad that you overcame the world. But how does that cheer me up? Because Jesus has come to live inside of me. And he's prepared to engage himself in the battle. That by his ability, I won't give in to it. He's already overcome everything I've ever faced. If your temptation is the temptation to do this or do that or do this or do that, Jesus has experienced all that and he's conquered all those things in his humanity. And his humanity was our humanity. So he's now living out his life now, clothed himself in you, saying, cheer up, I've already beaten this before and I'll just do it again. I've already proven. I identify with that. I'm not mad at you for you being tempted. I'm not separate from you. I'm not frustrated with you, disgusted with you. I'm not angry at you that you blew it the last time. I'm prepared to give you the victory this time and then the next time. Let's just take this one step at a time. But I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. How can I? I'm in union with you. We're stuck with each other, with all of eternity. Stuck on each other would be better. So Paul makes this statement. He says, when he's asking God to take the weakness away, like we ask God, take these temptations away, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, and the word power there in the original language is simply the word ability. For God's ability is made perfect in your times of weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, and my ability is perfected in your times of weakness. In other words, he doesn't say, my grace, and so we put these together, grace, God's gift of his ability, the gift of his ability that's sufficient for you, that's perfected in every time you're in a place of weakness. He didn't say it might be available. He didn't say his grace could be sufficient, should be sufficient, would be if you'd pray hard enough or beg him enough. He says, my gift, free gift, of my ability in you that's sufficient to deal with this weakness, for you to have victory in the midst of weakness. He says, it is yours. My grace is sufficient. And if something is, you don't have to ask for it to be. Amen? You don't have to pray for it to be. If something is, you go, wow, that's awesome. Or if something is, here, this is yours. This is yours. Oh, please give that to me. I just said it is yours. Oh, please, please, please do that for me. Please, please give me that. I just said it is yours. And you just do what? You take it and say thank you. If something is, you don't ask for it to be. You praise God that it is. Then you see its manifestation in your life. And so how do we deal with temptation? Because temptation is going to come. Victorious Christian living isn't the absence of temptation. If it is, then Jesus didn't live a victorious Christian life. The victorious Christian life is allowing Christ to overcome in the midst of temptation. He's already proven that he can. He's already proven that he can handle your humanity because he carried your humanity with him when he walked on the earth. You were there in him. He's already done it. He's already proven himself. So that when the temptation comes, in that moment, I know that His grace is sufficient, for His ability is perfected in my weakness. And in that moment, I can thank Him. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your ability. Thank You, Lord, for Your strength. Thank You, Lord, for the free gift of Your ability and strength to not give into this right now. And in thanking Him for what is, that which is becomes your experience. And it's one temptation at a time. Say, but what if I mess up? Like I walk and trust Him with it three times in a row, and then I mess up. His grace is sufficient for your mess up too. So you thank Him for His forgiveness, because you've been forgiven for 2,000 years. Thank Him for your forgiveness and get up and start walking it out again. Jesus is the greatest rehab program in history. Whatever sin it is that you struggle with. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together. Yeah, I had somebody tell me, I know I'm just struggling because I'm only human. As a Christian, I said, never say that again. Never say you're only human. That's a lie from the devil. There's more to you than your humanity. Now, you have humanity, but there's more to you than your humanity. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus has clothed Himself in your humanity. And so He identifies with the weakness, but He's there to overcome because His power is made perfect in our weakness. For when we're weak, then we're strong in His strength. Peace, Lord, be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another.